The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah!
This is Mick Schatz,
streaming live on DallasCowboys.com and the official Dallas Cowboys app.
Now, here are Bill Jones, Everson Walls, and Mickey Spagnola.
Is it high noon on a Thursday here in the SWBC podcast studio? I don't know what y'all are waiting on.
Hey, man.
It's 12.
Spags and I have been
and
here.
51 seconds.
You are on what they call
You know
CP
what?
Time.
I'm having a hard time with people returning to work.
Yeah, okay, it's not for the last, fun anymore, for the, right? You got spoiled.
For the last couple of weeks, people were on vacation for the holidays. You could find a parking space like just
I don't want to jinx it, Bill.
20 yards
I find
away
a parking
now,
place every day.
Well, you're
I find the parking place every day. How do you not find the parking place? It's crazy. Maybe you're too early. Is that what it is?
Maybe that's it.
No,
I'm
change.
Not too
you know,
early.
When people go to lunch, maybe I get their parking place.
That's right.
That's what I was just going to say. You get here right as people
right
are going to lunch.
Right.
That's right. That's exactly right. That's exactly what's happening. You get here right before noon, and people are leaving for lunch, and you get –
I
wait
get
for
it.
One to there's back
a,
out.
There's 100 yards of parking across the street. All you got to do is on. Walk. There's not that old.
Bill has to walk from Baylor Scott and White.
And that's the problem. I'm walking 300 yards when I go park, when I'm thinking I'm going to get one that's 10 yards away.
Place,
that's right.
Right.
So, people, take vacations.
Oh,
leave,
man.
Okay?
Take another vacation.
Wait till after the football season's over to come back to work.
Right. Work remotely.
Oh,
yeah, that's an
that
idea.
That would be nice for us, too, yeah.
So, Mickey Spagnola, I see football players arriving on a football field outside.
Going to practice today.
Beautiful day.
It is. I like this little crispy air. You
and
chill in the air.
And pads, too, by
in
the
pads.
Way.
Mm-hmm.
For the first half of practice. You don't want to overdo it.
Is that a sacrifice?
Yes, right.
Yeah.
Till we go into the locker room and take the pads off and then come back out for the second half of practice?
No, they normally take them off outside.
That'd be too much for them to have to go back to the locker room.
They've
because,
got those
you know, they
portable
need rest.
Shelves out there.
They need
they
rest.
Put them on. Yeah.
Speaking of this rest, they're talking about, you know, how do we approach this game and, you know, you got to be ready and you got to – rest from what?
They've had 13 days before they play a game, right?
And the practices themselves.
No, not 13.
They played a Thursday game, and then they're coming back playing on a Sunday.
10
days, something like that. Yeah.
Why are we worried about rest all season long? Everybody talks about rest like we're back in 1980. We're not in 1980 anymore. We're not in 1990.
Got to play an extra game.
You have to, okay, you're not even practicing hard. You're not even practicing hard. What are they resting for? You understand?
Yes.
Because you have a chance. You have, they had that. Is this their last padded practice, allowed padded practice this year?
They get 13
I
during the season?
That's,
come on, man.
That's
you
got to
right. rest from 13 practices.
And you only get so
pads.
Many the last month of the season. Yeah. You can't, like, store them up and then use them all at the end.
There's the rest.
I assume
you have plenty of rest, guys.
You get another padded.
Everson could have played for 20 years.
Every week.
Thank you,
the
producer supreme. I mean, come on, man. This thing about rest is really, at this point, overrated. And that's good. We fought for that for the union. All right? You know, less padded practices and guys get more rest, take care of them, because as we get older, all that stuff comes back at you. Man, these guys.
Mike McCarthy was talking about it during
the
press conference today. Yes, Producer Supreme. Producer Supreme, did you say something?
I said they also pay you in the offseason to work out. Did you have that happen to you?
Okay, hold up. Wait a minute. Back up, Chris. What did you just say?
They
pay. Can they hear Chris? Can people hear Chris?
Yes.
They get something for
to work out.
OTAs.
Yeah, they get paid to work out in the offseason. Now, I'm sure you did too, right?
No, you're welcome. That's all I have to say to them is you're welcome.
You paved the way for them to make more money.
For them, me and Nate.
You're suffering.
Come on, man. Now, we're talking about getting rest for the playoff run. I mean, for real, it's funny, but to me, this rest thing is overrated now. They don't even hardly practice. They should be full tilt every game. I don't care if they play 20 games, which let's hope they play 20 games. And they don't. They just don't need. To me, when it comes to this whole strategy about, okay, when we go into the playoffs, I just thought of it on the way in. This is not 1990. They don't need rest. I mean, you risk injury, of course, but you could do that in any game. But to say that we need to rest these guys, that is overrated right now. It doesn't even exist to me. And that's just looking at it from a realistic standpoint, especially when you compare what it was versus what it is.
Yeah, and you know, not just rest during the week. I mean, they're talking about resting in a game, like not playing your guys. Well, you only got 48 guys to play, and you can't rest all your starters, right? Somebody's got to play special teams too, and then the guys that are playing special teams, they got to play 60 snaps. And I thought McCarthy made a good point. It's like, yeah, you know, we understand getting ready for the playoffs, but we got some things to figure out on our offensive line, right?
Yes, they do.
The different combinations, and I'm sure they're going to
try those things. You've got a
different
guy playing center.
The
center
exactly.
Is not playing.
That's, and the backup, right? The backup center hadn't played any football in a while. If it's Forniak, and it sounds like they're going to judge today how he plays in practice to see if they'll elevate him and put him on the 53 with that open spot that they created by releasing James Washington. They got to figure out the cornerback spot. You know, do they go the way they finished the game? Are they going to get Trayvon Mullen ready to play, who's played this year? So yeah, they got things to figure out. It's not like
So what's going on with McKenzie
coast.
Alexander now?
Yeah, I don't know, but he sure didn't. I don't know if he didn't impress him or what.
Yeah, I was gonna say his name hadn't come up in the last 4 or 5 days.
Well, because they used basically predominantly Nashawn Wright.
Well,
it was the
Philadelphia game. He got 14 snaps.
Right.
He was out there early and then wasn't
and
there
then
late.
And then they kind of switched
and
it.
Then nothing in the
last game.
Tennessee game.
Yeah, absolutely. So
wonder if it's a conditioning thing.
That part?
I doubt it.
Well,
it was his first time to play this year.
Right.
Yeah,
you know,
but that doesn't mean one game should have him out
camp.
For
they
Tennessee.
Just didn't.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Maybe
he
wasn't.
Could play the next game, but he didn't play the next game.
Maybe he wasn't efficient. You know,
right?
And now,
well, yeah, not many people are efficient against Philly
and then,
on defense.
And then,
well, he's still on the team, though.
Yes.
So,
yes. And Mullen hadn't played, but now it looks like they're trying to get him ready to play. And then, you know, Kelvin Joseph had to have emergency root canal yesterday. The guy's always got something.
It's always something.
You know, and I understand.
I didn't want to say anything, but it was in my hand. Like, okay, something else?
And it's not his fault, right? You know, you got a tooth problem. You got to take care of it.
I have one, too. I'll take care of mine next week.
But it's just something, you know? And I don't know if the guy's, you know, snake bit or what, but it's like we talked yesterday, right, about the penalty on the punt for punt interference. Mm-hmm. You know, he was where he was supposed to be.
Right there.
And then the punt floated over towards him, and the guy had to go over there, and it hits him in the leg.
He shows great athleticism.
Yes.
He really does.
Yeah.
That's why he's a good special teams player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyway, the Cowboys, by the way, only had five guys on the practice report. Joseph, obviously, and Biadasz did not practice, and then limited was DeMarcus Lawrence, but he's been limited for a month. That's just kind of how they're treating it. Van Der Esch was limited, and he won't do anything in pads today, McCarthy said, but they're hoping to get him into some 7-on-7 on Saturday. So he sounded like they're ramping him up to be ready for that first playoff game. Mm-hmm. So that was encouraging. And Tony Pollard came back in practice full. And as for your Commanders, they had 11 guys DNP'd on their practice report. They didn't have any limited or full. It was 11 DNP, and it was a bunch of starters, too. So I don't know if they're going to pull back and say, okay, well, you know, let's look at some guys for next year.
Well, they obviously are at the quarterback position.
I was going to say, they're at the third quarterback. So, yeah.
And that's interesting. I went back and, and looked at his numbers from last year at North Carolina, about 812 yards rushing.
Yeah, we saw.
I think it was also 11 rushing touchdowns.
Yes, as he's we pointed out yesterday.
So that's going to be, as I Bill mean, pointed
his
out.
His touchdown, he's got a couple of running touchdowns over 40 yards.
So it's a matter of, you know, you got to prepare for somebody you haven't seen play in the NFL, but I think it makes it more complicated that if they decide to, use his running ability, that now it's even more complicated.
What concerns me more than their offense, the Commanders' offense, is how well their defense is playing.
Right.
I don't know how well they're playing, but I do know that's a formidable group. They're just like they were last year. I mean, the front line is highly valuable and efficient, and it does give me a little bit of pause if they're going to be at full strength.
They are statistically sixth in the league in total defense, number 5 pass defense, number 14 run defense, 14th in points allowed.
And I don't think they've been full strength. Chase is not back yet, correct?
No, he is back.
He is back. Yeah. When did he get back?
A couple of weeks ago. He played last week, and I just wrote it down this morning. He got 38 snaps against Cleveland on Sunday.
Well, 5 of those 11 were defensive starters that didn't practice, including Montez Sweat and Jonathan Allen.
I don't want to see another Sweat.
Yeah, right? Too much Sweat.
Too much Sweat.
A starting corner didn't practice, starting safety, and a starting linebacker did not practice yesterday. So they've got some issues.
So, former player, what kind of mindset do the Commanders have this week, having just been eliminated from the playoffs and they are 3 days away from hitting a golf course?
I think it matters a lot on what kind of position the coach has with the organization, really, because I don't know what's going on with the head coach.
Ron Rivera?
Ron Rivera. I mean, this season didn't turn out the way they
No, really but they had a stretch there where, yeah. I mean, they went 6-1-1 during one stretch, including a win over the Philadelphia Eagles in the middle of the season.
And then when you look at that and you say, okay, well, let's keep this up. Now you've raised the standard, but then now the standard has dropped down again.
So they had they started the season 1-4. And then they won 6 of their next 7 games, including that win over Philadelphia. Their only loss came against the Vikings, a 3-point loss during that stretch. And then they had the tie against the Giants that dropped them to 7-5-1, a bye week. Then they lost to the Giants. Mm-hmm. They lost at San Francisco, and they lost to Cleveland. So now they're on a 3-game losing streak.
So that bodes well as far as how you answer that question. You know what? What kind of position is the coach in?
Yeah.
Is the coach going to be okay?
Hate to hear your coach say, I didn't know we were eliminated from the playoffs, too.
I mean, this is stuff that.
Like, publicly.
Yeah, it doesn't bode well for anyone on the team.
I mean, he's 7-5-1, and they were in the playoffs, and then they lose 3 tie 1 in the next 4.
You set that standard, and then all of a sudden, you can't keep up with that standard.
Well, the coach may be safe until the ownership situation.
And that's where I was headed. Oh, thank you, Bill. That's where I was headed in regards to new ownership. It just doesn't look good. So if I'm a player, I'm ready to play, especially with these conditions that I just fussed about earlier in the show. I'm ready to go out there and play and do my thing. I played several seasons without a hope of going to the playoffs.
Well, only a couple.
No. 6, 7.
Six,
eight,
seven,
nine.
Eight, and nine.
So
seven, you were. 80, wasn't it close?
86 was close.
Well, at halfway.
Right.
And then you only won one more game.
Yeah, exactly. So that would be what the Commanders are looking at.
7-8, the strike season, you got eliminated pretty quick.
The strike season itself was a loss.
Right.
To me, that's like the NBA was in the bubble. That's what the
strike season. Because your first 4 years, you guys were in it, right?
Oh, of course.
81, 82, 83, 84.
81 through 85.
And 85.
Well, 84 we didn't make it for the first time.
But it went down to the last week.
It went down to that
right?
Monday night game.
To review Everson's career with the Cowboys, 1986, as Mickey has well chronicled through the years, was what, a 6-2 start to the season, losing 7 of the last 8 games.
That's right.
Number one
and
offense in the league.
This is we were riding high.
87, the strike year. was
disastrous.
7-8.
7-8 was the final record, but lost four wins straight from Thanksgiving week until Christmas
and
week.
That's when the players came back. We were balling during the strike.
So yeah. Fell to.
We played all our veterans, and they were playing against the people from jail and just got out of prison.
Final record was 7-8, but it was 5-8 before winning the last two games of the season. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, 88 was 3-13.
Tom's last year. And I must say,
you were here for 89.
That 88 season, there were some games where, God, we were actually pretty competitive. I mean, considering the situation, I was kind of proud of some of those games, even though we lost them. You know, we went out fighting as opposed to 89 when we just had no fight at all.
Yep, there were.
Yep.
There was a lot of one-point loss. Yep. I mean, one-score losses in that 1988 season.
What happened to the last game?
The last game against Philadelphia was a loss, 23-7.
Which got Jimmy and Jerry the first pick in the draft.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Cowboys lost, and I think Green Bay ended up winning.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
So, no, the 88 season, Tom.
Green Bay was
year
in position.
The numbers weren't good, but the competitiveness was there. I do remember that. I was proud of some of the younger guys that came in and tried to establish themselves.
All right, we're just getting started on this edition of Mix Shots. We'll talk Hall of Famers when we come back here in just a moment.
The Medal of Honor is our country's highest military award for valor in combat. More than 40 million individuals have served in the armed forces since the Civil War. Fewer than 4,000 have received the Medal of Honor. The National Medal of Honor Museum will be a place to preserve these legacies and inspire America. It's being built right next door to the Dallas Cowboys in Texas. Help us honor our country's greatest heroes. Learn more and get involved at mohmuseum.org.
We paid how much for those lessons?
Shh, she's doing great.
Oh yeah, totally. Can you pass me a Pepsi Zero Sugar? Great job, honey! Oh. Oh, look at that. That's not the end.
No way. Now it's time for the encore.
You know what? You're right. Five times? Not enough times.
For everyone who traded in rock concerts for their kids' recitals, you've compromised enough. Pepsi Zero Sugar. That's what I like.
Nobody protects you from mayhem like Allstate. You hear that? I'm a torrential downpour. Torrential? What's that even mean? It means you can't see out of your windshield. And if you have the wrong car insurance, you might have to make it rain to fix your bumper. So switch to Allstate, save money, and be better protected from mayhem, like me.
Based on coverage and limits selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. In most states, prices vary based on how you buy. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
What do you call a group of grown men and women with their faces painted silver and blue who get together every week to share a three-hour-long ritual of jumping, sinking, and toasting Miller Lite and 10-gallon hats while yelling, "How about them cowboys?" You call it Miller Time in Dallas. Here's to the cowboys. Here's to the original light beer. It's Miller Time. Celebrate responsibly. 2021 Miller Brewing Company, Fort Worth, Texas.
Back to Mixed Shots.
Cape Post Roofing and Waterproofing, proud partner of the Dallas Cowboys. From corporate homes to your home, have your roof checked by choice, not by chance. Call now, 214-225-4860, and you can go to capepostcompany.com.
Dynamic.
That was a very dynamic read by Mickey Spagnola, who was not interested in going out and checking who's on the practice field.
Why is that?
Because they're probably stretching.
That's right. He's defeated by the whole process
here. He understands the process better now. That's
12-15 was when they were supposed to be out
all
there.
All season long, he would run out there
the
to
next
see
one
what he could. Okay, at 12:30, he'll go run out there. All right, we've got the 15 finalists. Modern-day finalist name for the Pro Football Hall of Fame voting. And there's obviously a Cowboys flavor to it with Darren Woodson, DeMarcus Ware, and I'm going to go ahead and count Zach Thomas since he finished up his career with the Cowboys.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, Spags.
He played for the Cowboys.
He isn't on this list because he played for the Cowboys.
Okay.
Now, if he would have helped win a Super Bowl now, that would have been a whole different thing.
But he did get in a playoff game.
Okay.
2008, sorry.
All right, yep. So do you want to read off the whole list? Or
No.
Good. I don't want to hear it.
I don't want to hear about, well, now I don't know if there's room for this guy or that guy, because look at all these great guys here. If they don't put Darren Woodson in the Hall of Fame this year,
it is ridiculous.
They ought to revoke their voting rights.
Let's look at it like this. If you are a finalist so many times, obviously you are considered by more than one or two, three people. If you're considered that many times, there should be a time to, okay, it's automatic.
But with
Woody, this is his first time
as a finalist. He's been a semifinalist.
Over and over again.
And you got Leroy Butler sitting in the Hall of Fame? Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's the one that I didn't remember. Carnell Lake.
Of course. Pittsburgh Steelers.
Steve Atwater. I knew that.
Denver Broncos.
Okay, I want you to explain to people the difficulty of what Woody did, playing safety and then going in the slot and covering Jerry Rice at times.
At the end of his career,
right.
He was doing that.
Still.
He was doing it at the end of his career.
Special teams too, by the way.
Yes.
Because Avezzano would not let him off special teams.
Because he's a leader. And he's the guy that can right the ship. If something's going off kilter, he's the guy that's going to go out there and take care of it, even on special teams. So to be able to play at such a high level at safety, sacks, coverage, hits down the field, turnovers, all those things that he was adept at, and then to drop down and play in the slot, who the main ingredient for third downs and seconds and longs. They drop him down into the slot, and this man, who was a former linebacker at Arizona State, am I correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Former linebacker. He comes in, and now he's a big safety. I saw him returning a fumble the other night. He's huge. He's got the big shoulder pads and everything. He never went to the field goal players' shoulder pads, field goal kicker shoulder pads.
Field goal kicker.
You know what I'm saying? That's what I had. I ended up at the end of my career. I got smaller pads because, you know, you got to work. You don't have time for all of that. You're not taking as many hits. He drops down, and he's prolific covering the slot man.
Which is one of the more difficult positions.
I know for a fact because Belichick made me do it when I was in New York.
At the end of my career.
That's what I had to do. And there's no tips that you can have in regards to how the wide receiver lines up. Well, if he's close to the tackle, then he's going to be going inside or outside. No, there are no tips. The guy's in the slot. He can go either way he wants to go on you at all times.
And you can't get your hands on him.
And if you don't get your hands on him, it's over. He was adept at that. I don't mean that they just put him down there and just because they had nobody else. That was his job at the end of his career. Leroy Butler would never attempt to cover a wide receiver in the slot. Period. Nowhere. Atwater. Never was he asked to do something like that. They were where you were going to see them at all times. D. Woodson, he was down there in the slot just when it mattered. On third down, second and long. 2-minute drill. All of that.
Okay. Don't count it against Darren Woodson that he hasn't been a finalist the previous six times that he's been a semifinalist. Okay? Because the way it works, they break it down basically by position. And they are not going to put more than one safety in each year. And so the voters decided that certain guys, ranked them ahead of Woody. Wrongly in many cases, okay, but that's the way they had it. And so that's why he didn't make the final 15 the other 6 years. Let me run down. 2017, the safety that got voted in was Kenny Easley. 2018.
He played like seven years.
2018, Brian Dawkins. 2019, Ed Reed.
I was there with Brian Dawkins beat me out.
Okay.
Yeah.
2020, of course, was the year there were several with the – they tried to make up for lost time. They didn't –
it was like 100-year anniversary.
Yeah. And, of course,
like
Cliff Harris was one of those from the
veterans, seniors.
Donnie Schell was another one. Troy Polamalu, though. Troy Polamalu would have been the modern day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So there was a safety that year. 2021, John Lynch. There was the safety that year.
Give me a break, dude.
2022. So last year was Leroy Butler. So there has been a safety going in every year. So you got the list there?
Yes.
So what do you have as far as safeties?
I would have to look. Offensive
safeties,
tackle.
You have Darren Whistler.
Barber. Are they going to count Rondae Barber
is a cornerback? Safety. He is not a corner. He wasn't a cornerback, was he?
He did both, I think. Yeah. No, I thought he did corner and then he went into the slot.
Mm-hmm. So he's a corner.
So he's a corner. Defensive line, punt returner,
so
wide receiver.
So if they're going to keep
receiver, cornerback,
and I've heard Goose talk about it that they needed to make up for lost time on safeties because safeties had been overlooked for years. So they've been trying to make up for that.
Right that wrong.
Yeah, right that wrong. And so every year there's been a safety gets gone in, at least one safety here in the last 6 or 7 years.
Yeah,
so that
so
bodes well for Woody if there's going to be a safety go in again
that's
this year.
It's so murky. That's
yeah,
so murky.
That's right.
As a matter
like
of fact, I should have grabbed Goose. He was in the building this morning.
I don't like that. That stuff is too.
Right.
Yeah,
I agree.
Vote
I agree.
For the
don't
guys.
Worry. Best guy.
Man.
Yes. Who cares about position or what team he played for? You know, if he comes down, there's two or three Cowboys or two or three Steelers that are worthy, then vote them in. It's
right.
Base it on their career, not on some sort of, you know, position.
I would be happy to say that finally you have an HBCU player in there, being Albert Lewis,
mm-hmm.
My teammate at Grambling. Eddie Robb brought him in to take my place, and then I was balling out so much, like Albert had to sit on the bench and wait till I graduated.
This is his last year of eligibility.
You know, and I was surprised to see his name on that list that he's not in already because he was pretty
right.
darn good
was
with the
pretty
Chiefs.
Damn
right?
good.
I thought the same thing. I
yes.
said, "Whoa, wait a second."
So that now I got to go to the HBCU thing. You see, think about that. We don't have anybody fighting for us. You know, most of the media guys, mm-hmm. they're not from HBCUs. Mm-hmm. They don't give a damn about HBC. All they know is Big Ten, Big 12, you know,
SEC.
All of that. That's all they know of the big school play. You got Albert Lewis. Albert Lewis, I believe he has 50-plus interceptions in his career. At one point, they had a cornerback duo list. Dennis Thurman and I made number 10. And he and what was Ross's? For Kevin Ross?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Cornerback? They were a hell of a duo. And Albert Lewis is one of the fastest guys you ever want to be around. And this guy was a hell of a player. I think he's kind of having some medical issues right now, but he is a guy that I was proud of coming out of Grambling, and he balled out during his career. And I would have to say, you know, playing with the Cowboys and all that, Giants, that all helped me. But once again, you have no media that is from an HBCU standpoint or HBCU sensitive that's going to fight for you. There's a reason that myself and Albert Lewis waited to our last year of modern day to have a chance to get in.
Get in for a vote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just for
nothing
that.
Nothing else.
So I don't know what happened with Woody. I don't know why they're treating Woody like he's an HBCU player. But he's getting that same treatment even though he went to Arizona State.
All I can say is turn on the tape. Just turn on
watch
the tape.
This guy work,
don't
man.
Look at record books. Don't look at statistics. Turn on
and
the
my,
tape.
And my main concern, and I'm ranting a little bit, my main concern is younger reporters, they just don't do the they don't do the research. They don't go back and do the work. They read. They don't see.
Right.
You know, numbers are one thing. When you just see how a guy plays and the impact that he made, you can't you can't visual is always stronger.
They're probably looking for some sort of production grade from PFF or something.
And they will probably if they do look at it, they will probably look at whatever the problem with that player might be. They're not going to look at his greatness. I know I'm a victim of it. So is Albert Lewis, and for some reason, so is Darren Woodson.
And
you look at that list, though, and
so Chuck Holley's going to make it, right?
He's
well, they're not going to pull a Drew thing, are they?
I don't think so. I think he makes it. But will they put all three of the
I think
seniors?
I think this is the year, and then they're doing it every
they're
other year
thing.
Where
they're
they've
the
got
thing.
Three seniors
senior.
This year.
They're
next year,
up.
It'll be back down to
so
one. They're trying to make
they're
up.
Making up.
Making
Klecko
up.
They're making up.
And Ken Riley.
I believe
thank
so.
Thank God.
Yep.
Ken Riley. Thank God.
Yeah, and somebody mm-hmm. included Don Coryell, but he's a contributor.
Right. So anyway, so there would be three senior guys,
right.
The contributor as well would make, and then there's five of these modern day. So right. You got 15 finalists for five spots, and school of thought, Joe Thomas is a first ballot guy.
Who is Joe Thomas?
Offensive tackle, Cleveland.
Cleveland.
Oh,
and 11.
Then you got Revis is another one that's getting a lot of talk.
Well,
that,
he was Revis Island.
Yeah. Right. So that only leaves three. If those two get in, that leaves three spots.
Ken Riley, HBCU, FAMU, Florida A&M University, 65 interceptions as a cornerback on a bad Cincinnati team. You know how hard it is to play well on a bad team? Mm-hmm. He did it every year. I don't think he ever moved to safety. To me, that was just amazing. And the fact that he had to wait till his senior, that just lends more credence to what I was trying to say about HBCU not getting any love. This guy has 65 interceptions.
See, and then with DeMarcus Ware, he's going to get in, right, eventually. And my worry is if they look at this and they go, well, that's a Cowboy, Holly.
Right.
DeMarcus Ware.
No, man, get out of here.
I know,
that,
but
man.
You know that's what's going to happen. They're not going to put all three of them in the same year. It's just not going to happen. I guarantee
you. I mean, even the word, they were calling me during this last year about the senior thing, and they were like, look, we can't put two Cowboys in. Why not?
Why not?
What is there, a rule?
They didn't have any limit on how many Steelers
all of a sudden we got protocol?
Yeah.
The other thing I love about Darren getting in this year is because the Super Bowl's been played in Glendale, Arizona.
Yes.
Yeah, that's his hometown.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Phoenix area.
Nice. And I think that happened for Michael when he first finally got in. It was in Miami.
It happened with Brian Dawkins. I don't know about the Super Bowl being in Philly.
Because
Philly was in
okay.
The Super Bowl.
Remember, these are mainly media people that are making the decision.
Are they listening
and
to
so,
us?
Well, but you would think that they're looking for good storylines, and so that's a storyline there.
Yeah,
there
it can't
you
just
go.
Be
you
know? Straight up. No, we
that's
gimmick.
Right. We got to have
a gimmick. That's crazy,
that's
man.
That's why I said that.
Well, let's see. So, Super Bowl
he uses,
is in Dallas.
Gimmick. He uses a gimmick every time.
Make a pick.
Pick the click, so... I better be quiet. I don't want to talk too loud about it.
We need that. We need that Super Bowl back here in Dallas, right?
That's right.
Okay, I've got. We're up against a break, and Mickey needs to go out and see who's playing where out on the practice field. But think about this: going to break. Two ideas apparently the NFL is considering when it comes to the Bills and Bengals, instead of playing the Bills and Bengals game, mm-hmm. okay, would be, and this is assuming that there is, that's not resolved, okay, mm-hmm. that the number one seed in the AFC gets to pick either home field advantage or the bye, and the number two seed gets the alternative.
Whoa.
What?
So, like, if, for instance, we're Kansas City.
When did that come out?
This is according to Adam Schefter. Okay.
Oh, okay.
This is something, two ideas the NFL is considering.
Considering.
Okay. Right. To because they weren't able to play that game. And
okay,
you've got to
say that again.
The number – so here's your choice. Let's say you're Kansas City.
All right. Which is the number one seed.
Kansas City is the number one seed right now.
Right.
Okay. Kansas City, you get to pick – either home field advantage throughout the playoffs, or you get the first round bye, but you don't have
home field
advantage.
Without the bye.
You're the number two seed as far as home field advantage.
If you pick home field, that's without a bye.
Without a bye, you have to play the first round wild card game.
Who's going to pick that?
Exactly. That's what I thought too.
Because if you're the number two seed. Chances are you're not playing on the road until the championship game.
Yeah, all you got to do is win one game and you're in the championship game.
Yeah.
Whereas otherwise you got to win two games to get to the championship game.
Right.
Why don't they just determine that themselves as the NFL?
Well, what's the next winning percentage? Because I saw that come up.
Okay. Well, then it says if Buffalo or Cincinnati is in the Buffalo or Cincinnati is in the AFC Championship game, it becomes a neutral site game.
I've heard that.
Oh, that's the other scenario.
Oh.
So there's two ideas. One idea is the number one seed gets to pick either home field advantage or the bye. The other idea is if Buffalo or Cincinnati make it to the AFC Championship game, it becomes a neutral site game. So, like against Kansas City.
So
it would become – they played at AT&T Stadium instead.
So are they – because this morning it was thinking about letting them play after the season's over, make up the game, and then push the playoffs back a week and take away the week. There's 2 weeks between – the championship and the Super Bowl.
That doesn't sound too bad, though.
Or you just do winning percentage, as we proposed yesterday.
Right.
I don't know if they're listening to us.
Oh, no, they're not.
The other thing, but more importantly,
no one's listening.
More importantly, there is encouraging news on DeMar Hamlin coming out of Cincinnati.
So
today.
This is the came out from the doctors caring for Hamlin at the University of Cincinnati Medical Center. He has shown remarkable improvement over the past 24 hours, and it appears to be he appears to be neurologically intact. Mm-hmm. While he's still critically ill. He has demonstrated that he appears to be neurologically intact. His lungs continue to heal, and he is making steady progress. We are grateful for the love and support we have received.
Yes, sir.
So,
amen to that.
Amen to that.
Yeah, and I think, and also, they were reporting that Hamlin opened his eyes on Wednesday night and is responsive and has been gripping the hands of those close to him. So,
yay.
That's a big yay.
Hallelujah.
That's a big yay.
Okay.
That's right.
Yep. Okay, we continue with more mixed shots in a moment.
Back to mixed shots.
The Medal of Honor is our country's highest military award for valor in combat. More than 40 million individuals have served in the armed forces since the Civil War. Fewer than 4,000 have received the Medal of Honor. The National Medal of Honor Museum will be a place to preserve these legacies and inspire America. It's being built right next door to the Dallas Cowboys in Texas. Help us honor our country's greatest heroes. Learn more and get involved at mohmuseum.org.
We paid how much for those lessons?
Shh, she's doing great.
Oh yeah, totally. Can you pass me a Pepsi Zero Sugar?
Great job, honey!
Oh, look at that. That's not the end.
No way. Now it's time for the encore.
You know what? You're right. 5 times? Not enough times.
For everyone who traded in rock concerts for their kids' recitals, you've compromised enough. Pepsi Zero Sugar. That's what I like.
Nobody protects you from mayhem like Allstate. You hear that? I'm a torrential downpour. Torrential? What's that even mean? It means you can't see out of your windshield. And if you have the wrong car insurance, you might have to make it rain to fix your bumper. So switch to Allstate, save money, and be better protected from mayhem, like me.
Based on coverage and limits selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. In most states, prices vary based on how you buy. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
What do you call a group of grown men and women with their faces painted silver and blue who get together every week to share a 3-hour-long ritual of jumping, sinking, and toasting Miller Lite and 10-gallon hats while yelling, "How about them cowboys?" You call it Miller Time in Dallas. Here's to the cowboys. Here's to the original light beer. It's Miller Time. Celebrate responsibly. 2021 Miller Brewing Company, Fort Worth, Texas.
Back to mixed shots.
James Wright, not Everson Walls, is your 2022 Cowboys Fan of the Year. James brings the spice to every Dallas Cowboys game, and now he needs you to help him bring it to the Super Bowl. Vote for James to be given the ultimate title of NFL Fan of the Year, presented by Captain Morgan, by casting your vote at NFL.com/Fan of the Year.
He beat you out, Bill.
Yeah.
I wonder if he says, go Cowboys every day of the week.
Yeah, Everson.
That's right, baby. I'm
okay. To piggyback off what Mickey was reporting, or to close out the last segment, right now there is a press conference going on in Cincinnati. University of Cincinnati health physicians are holding a press conference about DeMar Hamlin's condition right now, and to quote, we would like to share that there has been substantial improvement over the past 24 hours. As of this morning, he is beginning to awaken, and it appears that his neurological condition and function is intact. Calls it a turning point in ongoing care. So, hallelujah.
Good.
Yep. That's
wow.
Good job.
That's great.
To be young and strong, boy, mm-hmm. I tell you.
Boy, glad he's coming that out might have something to do with
oh, yes.
it, right?
Yes. Oh, yes.
That and the NFL protocols for game day physicians, medical people to be at the games, at the field, on the field. Yeah, if that doesn't happen, this is probably not taking place.
That's right. That's exactly right.
All right, you went out and looked at the what's going on at practice?
They were still doing position drills. Couldn't really see, like, what they were doing on the offensive line. They're going to try different combinations. But if they, you know, if they go with how they finished, then, you know, it's Forniak, Tyler Smith, Jason Peters with Josh Ball having to back up.
Forniak.
I said Forniak.
You did.
McGovern's at center.
McGovern, sorry. I was thinking Forniak. They got to get him ready to play.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tyler Smith at left guard and Jason Peters at left tackle, since he's probably more comfortable playing there.
As we were talking last week, if this was going to be an extended time, I believe, Everson, you said you were in favor of Tyron going back to the left side,
and
Peters doing the right side, and with Josh Ball's help, if you need.
That's a heck of an offensive line.
I mean, guys, they've got a bunch of stuff they got to change, and I think maybe they're thinking, let's change at least amount of spots as possible.
Well, we're blessed with veterans.
Yeah.
We're blessed with veterans and key spots on that offensive line. And if anybody talks about, first of all, no one's given us a chance anywhere at any time in the playoffs. And I beg to differ only because of this. The strength, I think, of our entire team is our offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they have allowed us to right the ship whenever we start to you know, decrease on our intensity or even our ability to make plays. And they have allowed us to run the ball very well. And, you know, Dak is back there. Take interceptions aside, the turnovers aside, Dak is back there with a lot of time to throw the ball. And that's why he looks so good in certain situations, because they give him all the time he needs to survey the situation. I don't care what defensive line they're going up against. I don't care about the individuals. Our offensive line finds a way to control the ball game, the tempo, and the whole pace of everything. When we were in Tennessee, things could have been really off the rails. But what they do, they allowed us to drive down the field anytime and make any play we wanted. The Houston game, the Texans, they dog us about the Texans game. That 98-yard drive, that had a lot to do with our offensive line, giving Dak the time that he needed. And to me, they're just as good as a good defense. They travel well, and after we settle down, they're always in control at the end of the ballgame.
I mean, if you see what defenses have been doing, like Tennessee, they played a five-man front to stop that running mm-hmm. game, but they paid for it in the passing game, right? And you know, you okay, I understand the interceptions. And I mentioned it. McCarthy was talking about interceptions and stuff, and you know, and I said they should come up with a new stat like team interception,
right?
Like they do team rebounds in the NBA, because sometimes it isn't the quarterback. Now then, it comes down to who is deciphering the official stat.
Right.
But I guarantee you, they decipher it. And when they grade, they know how they're grading, right? Okay, that one interception, I forgot.
Oh, you can think of several.
The one that the guy didn't square off his route, and he went up the field and allowed the DB to cut underneath.
That was CeeDee Lamb with Schultz going in the end zone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And things like that. Drop passes.
Not finishing your route.
Yeah, right. Not catching the ball. Right. Two or three of those for sure. I think if you took away, I don't know, half a dozen, then is the 14 don't look quite
as bad. I don't think that worries Dak at all. I don't think it worries this offense at all, from the quarterback standpoint.
Yeah.
I think they're feeling very comfortable with it. I think that's what allows them to go on to win ball games because they're not really worried about that turnover. Hey, guys, we got together now. We good. It's a shame that we had to go through that, but are we good? We're good. They get an understanding. They get on the same page, and then they go to really go on runs.
A lot of times.
Just one touchdown. I mean, they go on several drives that can just take the ball game over.
And the thing that I think has been most impressive is how they've overcome the turnovers. That's usually nice. When you have that many turnovers, you got no shot of winning.
And we're still scoring 20 plus.
And they're still scoring 30 points a game.
Come on, man.
So that's how good they are if those things ever stop.
I think that's our advantage. I think that's our advantage throughout. When we go to the playoffs, I think it's going to be our advantage.
You mentioned Dak, and I did want to point this out. He didn't officially talk yesterday, but he did chat with us about the DeMar Hamlin situation, and he kind of put it in perspective that, you know, we've been through this, and he brought up Marcus Paul.
Of course.
On how, you know, that happened on a Tuesday. They're playing on Thursday. Right. And, you know, you had to go play.
Yeah.
DeMarcus Lawrence basically put it as, hey, this is what we signed up for. It's our job, right? And you got to do your job.
Mm-hmm.
And I was asking Dak, I said, so what was the spirit like in practice? And he kind of looked at me and he goes, no, it was good. And he said this. He goes, if you are going to let fear drive your life, then you should never drive your car anymore. And I said, ooh, that's pretty good.
I'll take a flight.
Right. Yeah. And so his point was he didn't say sucks, but he said the sad reality of death is life goes on.
Right.
And so he was pointing out, you know, it's kind of our job to, you know, not to be heartless, but we got to get ready to do what we do.
There's always a delicate balance there.
Right.
That's what you have to worry about. You the optics as well.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to seem as sensitive as this is going on, and they're doing a good job of that.
Right.
Like you said yesterday, thank God it's not 50 years ago.
Yeah.
Or 20 years ago to where, you know, now we're more sensitive to the players. We understand what's going on with it. But let's be real, guys. This guy's not vested. He's not vested.
Yeah, he's only the second year, right?
He's not vested. So, you know, as much as we love the prayers and things of that nature, what is Buffalo going to do for him? Let's just say he doesn't come out of this okay, God forbid. Then what is the NFL going to do for him?
Yeah.
You know, and so the optics are one thing, but then you still have to do the right thing. So when it comes to the NFL, what are they going to do? God forbid, once again, that he ends up in and stays in this bad situation. So, you know, prayers, flowers, and donations to his foundation, that's great. But this man only made about $800,000 this year. And I don't know what's going on with his insurance.
Sixth-round draft choice.
I don't know what's going on with his insurance. You know, you don't know how that
works.
Afterwards.
Yeah.
I'm talking about, you know, physical care afterwards. So, you know, that, to me, we need to continue to take a look at this and see how – what they're doing for him in the future,
That's a good perspective that I don't think anybody's thought about.
No, I mean, it all sounds good right now, but then we forget about this as we go on. The season goes on. Super Bowl's going to go on.
Life goes
on. So where
on,
is he going to be?
Yeah. I'll tell you else, who else was good was Quadri Allison. they were teammates at Pitt. I didn't realize that. I'm not sure anybody has interviewed Quadri Allison all season. He'd been on the practice squad.
You mean here?
Yeah, here.
Oh, yeah, he talked.
And they elevate him. But he was really good yesterday talking about what he knew of him.
And he told him he loved him.
Yeah.
He told him he loved him.
And
that's right.
And he said, I text him, but he goes, I want to tell him
that's
that.
That's right.
And so, yeah, he was pretty good, too. He stood there and spoke for quite a while. So they were really sure what they were going to do from an interview because we talked – I don't know if we talked about it yesterday. Some of the teams shut down their locker rooms yesterday.
Yeah.
But the Cowboys decided, no, we're going. And as usual, DeMarcus Lawrence came out. Zeke came out and talked. And then Dak was – I just went up to him and I said, so did you – can't have a personal conversation anymore, right? Were you watching? He goes, yeah. And so we were just kind of talking to each other. Then all of a sudden everybody came around. Mm-hmm. And he was like, do you mind if we record this? And he goes, no, because today's his day to talk.
Yeah.
So the TV cameras weren't rolling, unfortunately, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
But he did speak for about 10 minutes about it. So He really handled it.
Well, he understands. Really well. He understands his responsibility in this.
Yeah,
you know, not just as a leader of the NFL, but you know, just what he's gone through.
Yeah,
you know, the tragedies in his family. So
right,
he can speak directly.
Yeah, because he's got a pretty good perspective on all this.
He sure. Unfortunately,
Everson, you ready to say go Cowboys?
I am ready to say go Cowboys. Okay. But I want to tell you what Nate
James
Newton,
Wright's in trouble.
Nate Newton was just wanted me to tell you, Spags, don't tell that Woody story.
He already embargoed me. He heard me tell it on the Fan this morning, and they hadn't heard it. Right? He comes in, he sees me, goes, don't tell that story.
Don't tell
one
it
more
again.
Time. It was the story about his fractured forearm in Boston.
Oh, okay. No, if Nate and Frisco doesn't want you to tell the story, then you're not going to tell the story.
I'll tell you off the air.
Okay, and in the meantime, Everson.
Go Cowboys.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How